for the optimism of last night's game. Kevin Barker, 16-5, the New York Yankees, tying into the Toronto Blue Jays tonight. The numbers, as always, call 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590. The Yankees scoring 6 runs in the 6th inning, 7 runs in the 9th inning, Kevin. Ooh. 9 for 12 with runners in scoring position.
Wow.
And, you know, 3-1 through what? 3-1 through 5 innings?
Yep.
And you say Kikuchi, you know, looked to be all right. What happened in that 6th inning with a single from Jamai Jones and then the bunt by Anthony Volpe that just seemed to set everything in motion? Juan Soto just corkscrewed a 3-0 pitch over the right field wall, and the route was on after that.
Yeah, he lost location. I mean, that's what it was. The first 5 innings, the location was good. The crispness of the secondary stuff, the slider, the breaking ball, it was ending up where he wanted it to end up, not down the middle, right? The 6th inning, it was a 9-hole hitter with the 0-0 fastball. Gives him a chance, right? When it's middle like that, it gives him a chance to get a broken bat single. The 0-0 hanging curveball, the Volpe on the bunt single. It's easy to bunt those, have it go where you want it to go. Then he misses location. He missed big with a couple of secondary pitches to Soto. Away, he tried to go away 3-0 with the fastball. He missed into one of the best left-handed hitters in baseball. That's what happens, right? It's the third time through, Jeff, with a like a fourth or fifth starter in a rotation. That's what it comes down to, right? It's, you know, you cruise control a couple times through because of the velocity, because he had good spin on the secondary stuff, because of the velocity elevated to those guys. I mean, that's hard stuff to hit. Third time through, right? You've seen it. You know how to lay off of it. You zone him in. You're looking certain location. You get in a hitter's count. He's predictable when he's not throwing as many strikes. Bad things happen to you. So, yeah, it's they had their chances to add a little separation there in the 5th inning with the bases loaded, nobody out, and didn't do it. And that's what happens, right? When you don't do it, you're facing a good team who's been struggling, has the right guy up the right time, runs into one, sort of changes the atmosphere, changes confidence levels for everybody, and then they go up and they have better at-bats.
Yeah, and the Yankees, through the first 10 Yankees to come to the plate, he struck out 6 of them.
Let's say this, too. The bullpen for the Blue Jays was atrocious. Other than Garcia, it was atrocious. Like, I think we about come to the end
Cabrera,
of Tim Mesa. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The Tim Mesa thing, look, we all love Tim Mesa. Tim Mesa's been around forever, but man alive. Like, how many more times you got to see a 7 ERA being ran out there? That's, you know, again.
And you made the point. He's pitched a lot of innings in the – and this is not to take anything away from Tim Mazey. He's pitched a lot of innings in the AL East.
Absolutely.
And it's not as if he's got a trick pitch. It's not as if he's got overpowering stuff. He's not surprising anybody. He's not fooling anybody. You know, we had Ross Atkins on yesterday, and that's one of the reasons I asked him, why didn't you address the bullpen? You know, never mind just, you know, going out and getting Brendan Little. I mean, why haven't they addressed the bullpen?
Yeah.
They've basically left John Schneider without a closer for the most part.
Absolutely.
And, you know, yeah, we know this team has had offensive issues. We all get all that. We understand that, you know, the bullpen isn't to blame for everything. But, man, this bullpen really lets things get out of hand, and we saw that. And, you know, Nate Pearson's frustrating because he's got to be – because you don't know what you're going to get out of him. Do not know what you're going to get out of him.
Well,
he'd be maddening to manage.
He's a thrower, not a pitcher, right? I mean, the you know, when he throws 2 sliders in a row that are not competitive, you sort of know what's coming after that, right?
Yeah.
And the high octane velocity really doesn't matter when you know it's coming. You can get it geared up. Your timing is a little bit better. You can catch it. You can sort of beat Nate to the spot, and that's exactly what happened. It's missed spots a lot. It's hitters counts. again, it gets back to that thrower thing, not a pitcher. So, yeah, and Trevor Richards sort of due for one of these, right? The seven outings in a row, yes, not giving up a run. And, you know, it's just the error from IKF to sort of lead off that inning. It's, you know, again, it's predictable, right? 3-1 mm-hmm. count, you're you know, somewhat close with your team. You're probably not going to, you know, walk a guy. You probably have a little bit better command, the elevated changeup. Like, it's just, he's due for one of those. But, again, that bullpen, man. Sometimes it's a tough watch.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it really does have the potential in any given night to be a tire fire. There's really no other way. There's really no other way to put it. Yeah. George Springer left the game after getting hit by a pitch. Of course, it would have to happen. George Springer's on a bit of a heater right now, and makes sense given the way this year has gone that he'd get hit by a pitch on his left hand. The medical report was that the precautionary imaging was taken for a fracture. It was negative.
Yeah.
So, you know, knock on wood, that's the good news, because, you know, again, we've been waiting for the version we've seen of George Springer for the past four games for about 3 years. So, pretty much.
Man.
3 years. I've been waiting for 3 years. Vladdy Jr. hit another home run.
Yeah.
And, 16-5. 16-5, Kevin Barker's the final. Matt in Toronto, in what is going to come as a shock to absolutely everybody, Matt, you're stuck in traffic, leaving the game.
I'm stuck in traffic. I'm with my friends from Pittsburgh who are big Jays fans. You know,
Pittsburgh, tell them. Seriously, Barker's heard me say this. You may have heard me say this. My favorite underrated road city and my favorite park in baseball, hands down. Hands down.
And you
down.
Know what the worst part is? They're better than us.
Well, yeah, they got they have a little more promise. I will say that. And yes, right now any team that has Paul Skeens is pretty good.
It's true. It's I believe I hear you guys often say Paul Skeens day.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It's just he is my that's my go-to guy right now. Who do we have on the other day? We were talking about what we like about baseball right now, and I mean, Paul Skeens is one of the things I really like. Yeah, passing. Paul Skeens is one of the things that, to me, is must watch.
I would like to say, you know, I've been in the city for a long time. I grew up, you know, close to the border, and I was born sort of a Tigers fan in the last, you know, 15 years that I've been in the city. Kind of, you know, seen the struggles when you could, you know, buy a ticket for, you know, $5 or $10 and you could kind of crawl down into the 100s and, you know, evolved into a Jays fan. And I would honestly say that, you know, we often hear people call in and say, you know, this is the worst time to be a Jays fan. And I can honestly say that's the truth, because when they were bad, we knew they were going to be bad. But, you know, we've been sold this whole concept of, you know, it's just a process. It's going to be this and that. And I really appreciate the fact that, like, you know, when a couple of days ago you had Atkins on and you pushed him to the edge. You asked a lot of questions. I don't think we got a whole lot of answers. But you asked fairly about how the perception of the team. And, you know, being not a journalist anymore, but, like, listening to people call in, it's tough. It's tough to be a Jays fan right now. And you know, it's tough to be a Toronto sports fan right now. So I would like to posit the fact that I would like a bobblehead of both Blair and Barker, perhaps, together.
Oh.
That's my vote of confidence this year, and that's the only real hope that I have at this point. And I appreciate the fact that you guys have to day in and day out deal with this terrible, terrible team. And I thank you every day coming in, being fair, being honest, and putting in a hard day's work with all the traffic and the BS. You guys are wonderful.
Very nice of you.
It makes being a fan a little bit easier.
That's very nice of you. Thank you very much. Yeah, we do. Don't forget, Barker played winter ball for about 15 years, and I covered the Montreal Expos for 11, nine of which was basically waiting for the team to move. So it's not the bleakest I've seen. But
I played on way worse teams than this. Yeah. Way worse.
Yeah.
Way worse.
I'm going to say that I've covered worse teams than this. This team has potential to rival that, just because a lot of the teams I covered didn't have this type of starting pitching and didn't have two players like Bo and Vladdy. And I can honestly say that I was thinking about this the other day. I don't know if I've covered a team. See, most of those Expos teams exceeded expectations, or you just knew they were going to be crap. And I don't know if I've seen a team, maybe last year's. Last year's team was more frustrating than this year's team.
Yeah, the expectations were higher.
Frustrating. I had no expectations of this team going to the World Series.
This is predictable.
This is predictable.
I just think, Jeff, it's very frustrating because we have no idea what they're going to do.
No clue.
Nope. We had Ross on. We still don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want to go down that road. But they're not going to tell you what.
No, they won't.
Nor should they.
No, absolutely.
I mean, nor should they. I mean, if they want, they can tell me.
They could tell me too if they wanted to.
A bobblehead would be interesting. Everybody else is a bobblehead.
Nah.
Hazel is a bobblehead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
We don't have a bobblehead.
Always the bride.
We've had a better year than some of the guys who've had bobbleheads, let's be honest.
Always the bride.
Sam and Hamilton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. First of all, I mean, the offense actually is kind of looking a little better. I mean, Springer, obviously, minus the hit by pitch. Vladdy's hitting home runs, which is...
Yeah, five games in a row with the minimum of five runs. I mean, the offense isn't losing this game.
Just two things I want to say before, obviously, you get to the next caller. Number one, obviously, it's good to see home runs start to finally fly out of the dome. That's something I've kind of noticed lately. And number two, I love Tim Mesa. He's been a great pitcher, but it's time to old yeller him.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah, old yeller is a little strong.
Old yeller. Wow, that is a little. I mean, I wouldn't go, full old yeller on him, but there are people out there, you know, going, "Who the hell is old yellow?" No, it's old yeller. Ask your parents. Yeah. Hell, you may have to ask your grandparents about that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, Tim Mesa. I mean, I get back to this. I fail. I look at almost every team that's contending right now. With the exception of a team like the Cleveland Guardians, they've all gone out and added arms to their bullpen. It's amazing how many teams have had to go out and do that. And for whatever reason, this organization hasn't been able to do that. And I tend to think, Kevin, this gets back to what we've talked about. They've done a mediocre job of adding depth pitchers. This organization now for 2 years, every spring training we hear, oh, they finally got some depth at AAA. You know, this looks really good. And every year around this time, you look at the so-called real good depth they have in AAA, and a couple of them have been released.
Yeah.
So that is an issue.
You know, as well as I do, they put a lot on Pete Walker's plate. I mean, let's not lie about it. Like they think he's just supposed to take any pitcher and turn him into the greatest pitcher in the American League, which is not realistic a lot of the times. So, again, I think the league's performance-driven. When your ERA is pushing 7 and it's looked the way it's looked with Tim, like he's had a good run with the Blue Jays. Can't lie about that, but I'm with you. The American League East and the consistency of just knowing how to go up and face him. And when he's elevating the slider the way he does, and he's not locating the sinker, and it's not consistently at the same velocity all the time.
I mean, he's batting practice, basically.
That's a bit strong, but I mean, he is. Yeah, that's a bit strong.
I mean, look, tonight it's not like they tore the cover off the ball.
Some bad
tonight.
Luck there. Yeah.
He had some bad luck, but
bad locations too, though.
Looked like batting practice.
Well, you're a bit strong. Well, yeah, be nice.
How many guys in a row reached? It was a lot. But it gets back to what we said. Tim Mays has pitched a lot of baseball for this team. He's been a good soldier.
He has.
But it's I wouldn't old yeller him.
I mean,
but it is. I'm going to remember that all night. Yeah, it is. It'd be nice to see some new arms in here. It'd be nice to see some new arms in here. I think we're all on the same page with that. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. The teams, the Yankees, the Jays, they've got two games left against each other. The Yankees, 16-5 winners tonight. They go 9-for-12 with runners in scoring position. They had six dudes with multi-hit games. This was the team that came into the game with a bunch of guys. I'm looking at them, 227, 215, 245, 178, 247, 192. Those are their batting averages. Yes, the Yankees are hurt, but they had some guys tonight who had their best games of the season in the bottom of the order for the Yankees, and what the heck. DJ LeMahieu even got an extra base hit, so Whoa. There you go. Guy and Maple, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
You know, I like the idea of the bobblehead, but I could just picture something like you and Blair at your desk, and then maybe Hazel and Vladdy pouring the Gatorade on you guys while they're bobbling, but something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little concerned about the bobblehead notion.
But to that last caller's point, I think it was the last caller, I had watched on YouTube the interview you gave with Ross Atkins, and I thought you guys did a really, really good job in conducting that interview. You didn't, you know, treat them very lightly. Sometimes you get these guys, they ask the easy questions, and you guys just, I know you guys had to be professional, and I could see you guys talking to each other, ask this question, ask that question. I thought if anyone, for all those people who haven't seen it, I really encourage you to go to YouTube and watch it.
Thanks.
The questions were fantastic, really well done. And I just thought he danced around a lot of the answers like he always does, like a Justin Trudeau, and, you know, hopefully,
Boy, there are some similarities, aren't there?
Aren't there? For real. But I guess my comment on the game was, it is nice to see the hitting's coming along, but I really think Meza and Pearson maybe need to go get sent down and maybe work on what they need to go. Meza was so, he was unbelievable. He was one of the top relievers in baseball, as far as I'm concerned, lefties in the last couple seasons. And I don't know what has happened to him, and I think maybe he just needs to work on something, maybe bring him into the lab, figure out what's wrong with him. And same with Pearson, he's got this great arm, but he seems like he gives up a home run every other game, and it's really disappointing to see that, you know, these guys have just went from, you know, great prospect and great reliever to, you know, pretty much mediocre relievers. And you know, we talk a lot about the offense being really bad, but it really was the relievers that cost us this game today. And I thought the home plate umpire was terrible. I thought there was two different strike zones, and I don't know if you guys can pull up stats on how many, you know, strikes were balls, and you guys usually have some sort of stat on that. But anyways, I just want to comment more on the YouTube thing, and great job, guys.
I appreciate it, Guy. Thank you very much. We've had our say about Tim Mays and Nate Pearson. I mean, I will say this. I think the organization realizes now that Nate Pearson is just a guy. I don't think they look at him as a prospect by any side. I don't think they looked at him as a prospect last year either, to be honest. But here's the thing with Nate Pearson, you know, and we've talked about this. They've got a lot of work to do in the bullpen next year. They're losing a lot of guys. You know, we're talking. I think Trevor Richards a free agent. He's got. I don't know if he's a free agent, but they're definitely going to lose Garcia. You know, they're kind of filling it in right now. I think you have to stick with Nate Pearson and see what you get over the course of an entire season from him, because at this point, I'm not expecting him to be a closer. I'm not even expecting him to be a decent eighth inning guy. I'm just expecting him to be an arm in the bullpen. I'm going to need arms in the bullpen next year. So, I want to see Nate have a run for the whole year at the major league level and see what you got.
Yeah, Trevor Richards is a free agent next year. Look, I think it's
This year.
Yeah, 2025 is a free agent. So after.
So he's here for another year.
No, he's a free
agent. No, he's
next
after.
Year.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
After
Shut
this
up,
year,
Jeff.
He's a
Go
free
ahead.
Agent. Yeah, yeah. Look, I think sometimes it's like that. Listening to Ross speak the last couple of days, I think it's about the organization's basically checked every box. With Meza and Pearson, I think that's where it's at. Like, when you check all the boxes, you've given them all the information, you've made all the adjustments you can possibly make. You know, you've thrown the slider more. It's tunneling longer. He's throwing it harder. He's added the breaking ball. You made him a bullpen arm. You're no longer trying to get him to start. Like, what else is there, Jeff? Like, you send him down to do what? Like, hey, yeah. It's either the slider's good or it's not. The location of the fastball's good or it's not. A velocity anymore is not a thing. Like, you got to locate velocity. That's a thing. And when you don't and you're predictable like he was tonight, Guy is a very smart caller, and I think he was trying to be nice to those two guys by saying, send them down, put them in a lab, try and figure them out. I just think, for me anyway, the organization's checked all the boxes. And occasionally when you've done that, it's time to move on.
Yeah, I mean, well, they are what they are, as far as I'm concerned.
But they don't have any other options. Who else they got?
No. And the thing with Nate Pearson is, you know, I know that people keep thinking, man, today's the day we're going to see 101. You know, we're going to see 101 five pitches.
His dad said 110 on our show once, I think.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, that Nate Pearson no longer lives here. I mean, he just doesn't. And to me, Nate Pearson is a guy. That's it. That's all. If you can find a better guy than Nate Pearson, that's fine. But I don't think there's any – I don't think there's anything – hidden in there. You know, I watch Hennessy's Cabrera pitch, and I think there might be something in there, but I don't get that with Nate Pearson. I don't know how you feel, Kevin, but I watch Cabrera, yeah. And yeah, he's erratic, but you know, I watch him at times against real good hitters.
Yeah,
and I come away thinking, man, there's something there.
Well, he looked like Tim Mays a couple of like 2 or 3 years ago because a lot of hitters haven't seen Cabrera.
With a little more velo.
A little extra gear, right? I mean, he calls that thing a cutter. That ain't a cutter. I mean, that's a slider. But look, I think that's the unknown, right? You can throw him against hitters who haven't seen him a lot. He's got the extra little gear. He's got the herky-jerky motion. Mm-hmm. You know, he's hard to pick up. He's got a little attitude. He ain't afraid to show you up if he punches you out.
Nope.
Like that, you got to have a little that in the American League East. So, again, no disrespect to any of these dudes, but, man, like – they're at the point now where they got to figure this out. They got to figure out who's a part of the future. And in my mind, it ain't Meza and Pearson.
Yeah.
That's just
Yeah, and, you know, the Yankees scored 16 runs tonight. They had 18 hits.
Damn.
The only pitcher I saw move anybody off the plate tonight for the Blue Jays was Cabrera. The only guy I saw move anybody
off the plate. Yeah, I don't think he did that on purpose.
Well, no.
I mean, it's okay. But
I'm saying it's fine. That's fine.
Effectively wild, what you call that.
That's fine. I wanted to see that. You know, I mean, how many Jays have been hitting this series? I wouldn't mind somebody, frankly, dusting a Yankee right now.
Yeah, we're 8 games under 500. Announce your presence with authority, Jeff.
416-870-0 after giving up 16 yeah. runs. 416-870-0590, *590. 1-888-666-0590. We'll take a break here from the skipper. Go back to the phone lines. It's Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Timmy's been... he's been really good for a long time. He's trying new things with a little cutter. And, you know, velo kind of comes and goes. I think that in today's game you need that. And it's been inconsistent for him. So you got to keep figuring out ways to make adjustments.
John, where did that hit-by-pitch catch George? And just where is he at?
Yeah, kind of in the wrist palm area on his left hand. He had precautionary x-rays, which came back negative. So hopefully he's good to go tomorrow. Playing a little bit safe, you know, played D and came in, took a few swings and was all right. Wanted to just make sure he's good to go, hopefully for tomorrow.
That was John Schneider, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, after tonight's 16-5 loss to the New York Yankees, talking about Tim Meza and George Springer. George Springer leaving the game after getting hit by a pitch. Preliminary... imaging was negative for a fracture, so basically he'll be day-to-day, essentially. And, you know, we'll have to have to play from there.
It's his bottom hand. It's his steering wheel. Like, that's a big deal, right? Yeah. When that part of your hand gets hit, it takes a little while. So I don't want to say I'd be shocked if he plays tomorrow, but I'd be surprised. Right. Like, they're going to be careful with it because he's been hot. But I want to touch on the Vladdy thing at first base with the runner coming around third. I know that.
Okay, that was
sort of
fourth inning, one out, two on. Soto on second, Judge at first, and J.D. Davis hits a ball to Vladdy.
No, J.D. Davis hits the ball to Horowitz.
Horowitz
comes in to catch the big hop, forces Judge on his way back to first. That's what you're supposed to do, right? That's 101 defensive baseball. Is get him going back as hard as you can. You get the out at first base. The problem is the runner coming around third. I know. Think about it as the runner coming around third. I want to continue to shuffle my feet, and if I see the guy with the ball lollygagging, not running the guy as hard as he can run him, I'm going to continue to shuffle. It's going to make it easier for me to read my move to home plate, right? But if I see that guy when I come around third, I've been held up, see that guy, the defender with the baseball, running the guy as hard as he could possibly run, I get big-eyed, I get flat-footed, I no longer shuffle my feet. They get the out instead of the run scoring. So everything worked out the way it was supposed to work. Vladdy needs to be running the guy back with controlled aggression. Go as hard as you can go. Get him running towards second base. Then if Soto goes, you could stop, set your feet, use the cannon you got, make an accurate throw instead of basically throwing across your body because you were lollygagging. That's basically what it is rundowns are you got to want to do them. You get the ball, you run the dude as hard as you could run him in the direction that you want him to go. Vladdy didn't do that. You don't get an out. You don't get the guy at home. It's a learning experience for every kid that's watching that. When in doubt, get the ball, show it to him, run him as hard as you can run him. 10 times out of 10, you'll get him out that way. And it just seems like, again, Jeff, with the bullpen that they have, every little play like that matters till no end just because they give up a bunch of homers and they were facing the meat of the order. So
Vladdy was also involved in the play at the plate on that wild pitch.
That's just not a good play. Like, that's, you know, you're giving Varsho an opportunity. I mean, Varsho's struggling, boy. I mean, he just right now couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. But you give him a good opportunity to have a productive at bat without getting a hit, right? And again, it gets back to that. When your feet stop moving at third, that means you have doubt on what you're seeing. Stop. Yeah. There's less than two outs. Go back. Give the guy at the plate an opportunity to drive you in. Again, it's baseball 101. John Snyder comes on our show all the time, Jeff, and talks about add-on runs. You know, it can't be the third base coach telling you what to not do and what to do. You got to make up your own mind. And when in doubt, freeze, go back. It's less than two outs.
Yep. Anyhow, that is it for tonight. 16-5, the New York Yankees have beaten the Toronto Blue Jays. The teams have split the first two games of the series. There's two more games left ahead of a Canada Day game between the Houston Astros and the Blue Jays. Going to be a funky little game tomorrow. Nestor Cortez against Chris Bassett. There's going to be a lot going on. There'll be some dancing. There'll be some magic. There'll be some playing around with the pitch clock. There'll be some delayed. It'll be fun.
Yeah, hopefully Chris has got the variance between the curveball and the fastball speeds. Yeah. I mean, that's a big deal, right? You got to have that change. You got to be having the elevated movement. He has that. He'll give him a chance. Normally he does.
Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Midland and Sturgeon Falls. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Canada's number one rust protection.